Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Join the show here. You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160 and 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
We are talking about what's happening in Tennessee, where there's a bill that has been passed by both the Senate and the House in overwhelming majorities. Super majorities have passed this bill that would criminalize basically the act of doing a drag show. Now, the way it's written, it does specify that it has to appeal to a prurient interest, but that is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
It's going to be up to, you know, the police and the judge or the jury to determine whether or not something regarding drag and possibly a child seeing it
would be prurient. How are they going to determine every single time if this is really a man wearing quote-unquote woman's clothing or a woman wearing quote-unquote men's clothing? They got to strip search everybody's up there if they are questionable.
Yeah, that's another good question.
There's plenty of Pams out there, people who look like, you know, they're not trans or something. You're just talking to them and you're like, I couldn't tell if that was a man or a woman. And their name was Pam, so you can't tell. Or Pat, sorry.
Yeah, you make a really good point there, Bonnie, and that kind of came up here in New Hampshire where there was this anti-topless measure in, I think it was Laconia. In New Hampshire, it's legal to be topless as a woman unless local laws prohibit it. So this is one of the areas where local ordinances are allowed to be written to restrict toplessness. But they have to be if I were to go down and be topless at the Laconia Beach, it would be completely legal. But if a woman is topless at the Laconia Beach, then she could be written a ticket. But the question came up in the one of the hearings for these women that did go down and were topless on the beach and ended up being ticketed for it was like, how do you know this was a woman? Did you, officer, stick your hand down her pants and verify that they're, or strip search them, as you suggested, Bonnie, to verify whether they actually had the genitals of a woman in the lower regions? Because they weren't bottomless.
Right.
They were just topless. And, of course, in that case, I think that charge never ended up making it to trial. But those were some of the questions that were asked at one of the hearings, and I thought it was a really good one. Anyway, let's go to your phone calls and thoughts here. We've got this crazy bill that's going to possibly criminalize drag shows in Tennessee. And then, ironically, the governor of Tennessee, a picture surfaced from him in 1977 dressed as a woman. But yet he's still going to sign the bill. Let's talk first to, I think Crichton is actually with us here. We tried his call earlier, but didn't work out. Crichton, are you there?
I am here.
Excellent, sir. You're in Kentucky. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to respond to this exact thing. And I don't want to get the impression that I'm actually in favor of these bills, because they're going all over the Bible Belt, my state of Kentucky as well.
There's apparently 26 of them right now, according to the metro.co.uk article.
What I wanted to bring up was another way to look at it, is that I think this is a little bit deceptive. Now, I've called onto the show and brought up the Baptist and bootleggers political theory in the past, which is a short term. There's a whole Wikipedia page on it, but the short version is that there's always a public reason and a hidden reason for laws like this when they pop up. My belief is that these laws are actually a form of Republican lawfare. They're deliberately trying to create these laws that can restrict free speech so that they can suppress the kind of speech that they don't want to see in their communities. But the history being what it is, they cannot be open about that in the law, because if that's the purpose of the law, it will be struck down. So they have to have some right. other justifiable reason for it.
In this case, it's quote-unquote harmful to minors.
Right, and that's entirely subjective, of course, and mm-hmm. as you've been talking about. But that's beside the point. I believe the point of it is to make the act of dressing up in a costume that other people may not like and then going to a public library wearing it to be illegal functionally. And because that's protected under free speech and you're in a public place, now, based on this kind of law, they could, if they wanted to, call the police on you and have you removed.
Mm-hmm. And then you then have to spend thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars to hire attorneys to defend yourself and then still possibly get found guilty by some bigoted jury or whatever.
Yes, and of course, most people will realize that, don't in advance, that they don't want to hang around in the state anymore
mm-hmm.
if they're inclined to do this kind of LARPing. But maybe I shouldn't stay here. Maybe I should move. I think that is actually the point. It's trying to nudge people that don't fit the culture that they're trying to support out of the state. And I think it'll work. But here's where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have already talked about this somewhat. If you have a problem with that, maybe you can go to New Hampshire. Yeah.
Well, if you're a libertarian, I mean, I don't want any hardcore leftists to move here.
Well, that's the thing. They don't care. The lawmakers in these southern states do not care where these people go. They just want them out.
Go to Massachusetts or go to California or something like that. There's plenty of leftist places for commies and such to go to. If you're a socialist, you should be in New York, you know. Crichton?
I think we lost you.
I think we might have lost you there. Go ahead.
I've got a truck coming. I got to go.
All right, brother. Thanks, man. Good luck.
Yeah, it did sound like he was at work or something. No, I think he was just saying, like, something.
It's on the road, it sounded like.
Yeah, because I heard some kind of sounded like a saw in the background.
Scott is on the line. He's in Indiana. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, so I was talking to, I called in about the, back in the 90s, there was a cartoon called Animaniacs, meant for children.
Yep.
And in that, they had adult jokes strewn all throughout it. Specifically, what I'm thinking about is an episode where the three siblings are detectives, and Yakko comes in and looks at his sister Dot and says, "Tweet for Prince." And 30 seconds later, she shows up with the performer Prince, the artist, and he goes, "No, fingerprints." Mm-hmm. And then her and Prince look at each other, and they go, "Nah." And she throws him out of the window.
Wow.
And right there, that's an adult joke. And
yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch that as a kid. Which is like a perfectly fine decision for someone to make for their own kids.
Sometimes they'll be even more risque than that. I mean, I'm not particularly familiar with Animaniacs, but those are the best kinds of cartoons where the adult jokes are present, but they're so high level compared to what kids are going to understand that adults can watch the show
and laugh
and be amused by jokes that are basically only for them while the kids are laughing at all the poop humor or whatever it is that's obvious.
Exactly, and the Animaniacs are still on streaming services to this day. So
sure.
are they in Tennessee going to ban that streaming service because it has that episode on it?
Well, no, not under this particular ordinance because it's only in regards to, quote-unquote, adult cabaret performances, which would be things that are like go-go dancers, exotic dancers, strippers.
Well, I think what he means is, like, are the people of Tennessee going to start demanding that they do the same thing? Are they going to be consistent?
Could, this probably particular
not.
Law, well, yeah, no, they're probably not going to go after cartoons. But, yeah, this wouldn't fall. I don't think Animaniacs would fall under this particular restriction.
Yeah, I shouldn't give them any ideas, though.
Indeed.
That's really all I was calling about right there.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate
that stuff.
I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for making it here tonight. Let's continue on. Sarah is in New Mexico. By the way, the number is 603-283-6160. Maybe you're excited about the Tennessee ban on drag shows or alleged ban on drag shows here, and you want to weigh in, you can join us. But, Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
about the draft show, yeah. I mean, I really don't care either way what
you don't
I
care.
Don't really care about.
So you don't believe in freedom of speech, freedom of expression?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying people do whatever they want. I just kind of like a standby. I don't like to inhibit people from what they're doing.
Yeah, you do. You call in all the time about how you want to restrict people from speeding, and you want speeding cameras, and you want the police arresting people for drag racing, and which is a different kind of drag.
Sex is mixed in homeless shelters.
Yeah,
you want people to smoke outside.
Yeah, you've got all kinds of restrictions you want to force down people's throats, but this one you just don't care about, huh?
Well, I mean, they want to get dressed up and pretend to be somebody else. I mean, who am I supposed to say? I mean, I'm not supposed to be the moral police, but the reason, you know,
could have fooled me.
She doesn't understand the irony.
No, she doesn't.
The speeding thing is that, did you know that we had the highest pedestrian fatality rate last year when we broke the record?
Why are you getting involved if you're not some the moral police?
Well, I mean, you know, who am I to judge? You know, if people...
I agree. So why are you getting involved in whether or not somebody's speeding?
Okay, because we had the most pedestrian killed record-breaking last year, and it was higher than the last year. So our pedestrians...
That's none of your business.
I feel like it has less to do with speeding than anything.
Okay, it is my business because I'm a pedestrian in Albuquerque.
Well, look both ways before you cross the road.
Okay, but
there's a lot of drunk people walking around in Albuquerque falling into the road.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much have to be a moron if you're going to get hit by somebody speeding because you're not paying any attention unless that person runs up on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Sarah was calling and saying, did you know we have the highest incidence of cars running off the road into buildings and
right.
sidewalks and stuff, maybe it would seem relevant, but just speeding on the road isn't going to hit a pedestrian unless the pedestrian didn't look both ways. I mean, unless the car is going like 150 miles an hour, I don't see how it's possible you can't get out of their way.
Right.
Well, the thing is that automobile to automobile wrecks, it has been going down. If you're inside a car, you're going to survive. This thing, getting after that, but it's the pedestrians that just got soft bodies. We're the one that's getting killed more and more year after year. And a lot of that is driver error. They're texting, talking on the cell phone, they're listening to music. Or
If a driver's on their cell phone and I'm paying attention.
You shouldn't walk in front of it. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm paying attention as a pedestrian, I'm going to know to not walk in front of that person's car. Seems pretty simple.
Okay. So
it's because there's drunk homeless people walking around and they aren't paying attention to the fact that car's even coming or they're standing in the road or whatever.
And Sarah has made it her personal mission because she does want to get involved in people's personal lives and their personal decisions because she is the moral police.
Well, they're always trying to run me over because they're speeding. So we're going to be getting 4 speeding cameras out in the county.
Well, that's not going to solve anything, Sarah, and you know it. You've been getting more and more speeding cameras, and yet you're saying people are still getting hit in record numbers.
And if Sarah did get hit by a car, if a car was trying to run her over and then ran her over, and there was a speeding camera there, well, it would just be an after-the-fact thing anyway. There'd be a video of Sarah getting hit by a car, and then maybe that person would get a ticket, or if they killed her, like, go to prison.
Yeah, a lot of good that's going
to
do you if you're in a prison, or if you're in, if you're dead, or you're in a hospital room.
Full body cast.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. Jamie is in Alabama. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hey, yeah. One quick question first. You say you used to smoke cigarettes, right?
I mean, I've had a few here and there. There was one summer where I smoked like one a day.
I used to be pretty addicted to smoking cigarettes, but I quit maybe like 2 years ago.
Good job, Bonnie.
Yeah, I try to quit, but I can't. I'm a chain smoker.
Well, I mean, you can. It's just that you haven't done what it takes to do it. I mean, some people need to use some sort of method, like, what do they have, the shot, I think, that you can take.
Chantix. I mean, I didn't try any of that. That stuff kind of scares me. I mean, it really sucks for Aria. Aria had to use it. She was, like, you know, one of those people who smoked, like, a lot. And when she used Chantix, it wasn't good. Like, it was really messed up her sleep schedule and eating habits and stuff like that, made her nauseous. So that freaking must have sucked. But, I mean, some people have to use that.
Well,
what did you do, Jamie? Did you just try it cold turkey?
Yeah, and it didn't work.
Well, how long did you go for?
About a couple of weeks.
You made it a couple weeks before you were able to, before you finally smoked a cigarette again?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. A lot of people can't even make it a couple of days.
Especially in cold turkey.
Was it you were just jonesing so bad after 2 weeks, you just felt like you had to?
Yeah, I was like, forget it. I'm hitting it again.
Oh, man. And now how many cigarettes a day are you smoking now?
Talking to a chain smoker.
Is that like two packs?
I got like a bag of tobacco machine.
You're rolling your own?
Yeah.
I was going to say, the way that helped me the most to get off smoking cigarettes, it's going to sound kind of gross, going to sound kind of ghetto. I started smoking those flavored, like, Black and Milds, because I could, like, just put it out, keep it in my car, only allow myself to smoke it when I was in my car working, so at least I was working, not just sitting in my backyard, working, doing Uber Eats.
Right.
I don't know why that just helped me get off it. For one thing, the taste started to become nauseating to me. Like, smoking a cigarette didn't become nauseating to me, but those flavored Black and Mild things, if I was the only thing I was allowing myself to smoke, sometimes I just wouldn't want to smoke because I didn't want to taste grape or blueberry or whatever.
I think that when Aria did her Chantix, that it made it very distasteful for her as well to smoke a cigarette. Like, she... I don't know if she said that when she thought about it, it was kind of a turnoff, but like the whole idea of smoking became a turnoff for her. So
yeah.
I don't know what those things cost her, but she said it was well worth it. And she is now a year past when she last smoked a cigarette, and she's very, very happy that she did it. So it's one of those things that it may cost a little bit of money up front. I don't know how much, maybe a few $100 or whatever for the treatment. But if you think about it, it's gonna pay for itself really quickly. If you aren't buying cigarettes or buying tobacco constantly, and you know, that's a lot of money over a year's time. Think about the amount of money that you spend on the cigarettes, and then just if you never spend another dollar on cigarettes, then it's no big deal to spend $500 or $300 or whatever on the medicine that might actually solve this problem for you. So I would look at some of those options.
I think the vaping is a bad in-between choice, because basically like it makes it to where you can smoke anywhere whenever.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it doesn't really stop you from getting a cigarette, too. Then you've got two habits.
I mean, yeah, because then you got to spend money on buying a vape rig and the battery and all that. If you're going to spend all that money, you might as well just spend it on the Chantix or whatever, a smoking cessation shot. There's different options out there, and I would look into those, Jamie.
I tried a vape. It didn't work out for me.
Yeah, I would try those options and see what, you know, maybe talk to some people you know that have quit, ask them what their story was, how did they do it, and then just kind of figure out what might work for you. Because there is a way to do it. If you've got the willpower, you know, and I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, it's a pretty serious addiction, but there's so many people who have done it, it can be done. It's just up to you.
All right, thanks.
Good luck, Jamie. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate
it. Good luck.
Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Tony from Oklahoma.
Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, this is for Sarah. Here in Oklahoma, we had a guy on a motorcycle get stopped on the same day twice by the same cop. He was doing 113 and then 126 mile an hour.
Wow.
So if the cop stopped him twice and didn't impound his motorcycle or anything else, the cops apparently don't care that you're speeding either, unlike Sarah was talking
about. I presume the cop wrote him a speeding ticket, which is the cops only care because they get revenue out of it. They don't actually care that you're speeding. They're like, okay, let's ring the cash register again.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to get through to Sarah. And also that day we had a vehicle doing 113 also that got stopped and got a ticket. But they're not pounding the cars or doing anything else, so that's my point to her. You can, like you were saying, you can have 5,000 traffic lights and not going to do anything, you know, other than the revenue for the county or state or however they do it.
Yep, that's what it's all about. It's all about the revenue, and I appreciate that story. Anything else you want to share?
That was it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call tonight.
I think Sarah would say something like, oh, yeah, but we should still try, but it's just like she doesn't...
Unfortunately, he doesn't listen either to the show, so she wasn't able to hear that call.
But I'm pretty sure she would say something like that, like, oh, we should still try. We should make sure these people, at least if they're getting tickets, that's going to make them want to stop. But obviously that isn't true in the case of this motorcycle guy.
No, it's going to make them want to buy a radar detector, you know? Okay, I just don't want to get caught next time. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
This is Randy from Southwest Arkansas.
You're on the air, Randy. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I learned not to smoke growing up. I worked on the farm, and we had brush piles would pile up, burn them, and that smoke would take your breath away, fighting fire with a wet tow sack around those brush piles. I have kinfolk that's...
You got to turn down that radio in the background, Randy. It's gonna, if it's not going to confuse the hell out of you, it's definitely going to confuse me listening to it. Or go into another room, get away from that radio.
I'll call you back another day.
All right, brother. Well, thank you for the call tonight. You can't have the radio on in the background.
Well, that's a good story. He never wanted to smoke because
of the brush fires.
Because of the brush fires.
Yeah, that'll turn you off. A whole lung full of smoke. Thanks for the call.
It's probably good for his lungs that he didn't add in more smoke to that situation. I know My grandpa was a smoker and a firefighter, and that's why he died in his 50s of some kind of
lung cancer.
I don't know if it was cancer, but something from his lungs.
That's awful. So the drag thing, we can come back to that just a little bit here. There's 26 proposed bills, according to metro.co.uk, across the United States. So Tennessee is just the first. This is coming to a lot of other places, maybe. I mean, not all of them are going to pass. But in states up and down the U.S., drag events from brunches to kids' reading sessions have been threatened with violence in recent years. The Proud Boys, a violent far-right nationalist group, have protested and barged into drag queen story hour events at libraries in front of children. I mean, can you imagine the gall of these people, like, acting like they're saving the children?
Saving children from their own parents.
Other people's children.
Right, not saving their own children.
Yeah, if they have kids or whatever. But these are the equivalent of busybodies. The Proud Boys are basically busybodies. They're getting involved in other people's families and the things that they choose to do.
Sarah, by any other name, would smell so sweet.
Indeed. And so they barged into these places. Sab Samuel, who runs a drag queen story hour in the UK, has seen his events similarly demonstrated against by far-right groups. He said, "Drag queen story hour is more than just a bit of fun. It's gender-affirming care and a highway for queer kids to get a role model that they've been denied for years," he says. Drag Queen Story Hour UK are aware the USA has no say on UK laws, but that does not mean these laws won't find their way into the UK, especially with the current government that they have today. So they're predicting that similar things are going to be going on there. Of course, this article was focused on the UK by metro.co.uk. I think it's a shame. Neither of these two sides can leave each other alone, the left and the right. They've always got to be having some pointless controversy between the two of them, and one side tries to shove their views down the other side's throats, and then the other side gets in control of the system, and then the things reverse, and it's just like, when is this going to stop? I think that this is why we need people to migrate and vote with their feet and get to places that are more like them. Move to be around people that are more like you, which is why we need the libertarians to move here to New Hampshire. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The White House is applauding Eli Lilly for capping insulin costs.
American families have been crushed by drug costs many times higher than the cost to make them and what people in other countries are charged for.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said it. The drug maker announced it'll cap out-of-pocket cost for its most popular insulin products at $35 per month. Top NFL prospect Jalen Carter says he'll be exonerated in Georgia for reckless driving and racing related to a deadly crash. Athens Clark County Police said Carter and Georgia football recruiting analyst Chandler LaCroix were allegedly operating their cars in a manner consistent of racing on January 15th. Carter is a projected top five pick in the upcoming NFL draft and was a star defensive tackle for the Georgia Bulldogs, winning back-to-back national championships. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up what you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com and you can enjoy the features that we have for you there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. It's Ian and Bonnie here in the studio tonight. We're going to more of your calls and thoughts. We were talking about the Tennessee drag bill, or the anti-drag bill, that could potentially criminalize even what Bonnie and I would describe as just normal drag, which is to say a in no way sexually connotated kind of performance, just simply men dressing as women and singing and or lip syncing to pop music songs and dancing. Usually that's what it, you know, what's that's a drag show. But conservatives want you to believe that drag is inherently sexual. They want you to believe that a man dressing as a woman is somehow sexual, and so therefore it should be a misdemeanor and or a felony in Tennessee. And there's apparently 26 states that right now are considering similar legislation. So if you want to comment on that, you're welcome to join us. Bonnie, you're going to have a story for us that's related to this about some parents in an uproar, at least one parent and then his associates, in an uproar over a teacher at a school in New Hampshire
wearing like flowy pants. It wasn't even like
wearing
a,
women's clothing, allegedly.
Yeah, what it wasn't even expressly womanly to me. Like when I saw it, I was like, "This is what it's all about." It's not like he was wearing a dress or bra cups or something like that.
We'll get into the story coming up here in a moment, but Law Dog is on the line here first. The number is 603-283-6160 in Michigan. Go ahead, Law Dog.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Ian. The gentleman that got the speeding tickets with the radar, back a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago, they had this one guy sing a song, and it was a one-hit wonder. It said, radar gun, radar gun. I'm making money and I'm having fun. And what they would do is they would sit there with that radar gun and they'd stick it up there when they seen cars coming, and then they'd put it in their lap. Okay, they put that radar gun in their lap. And if there's any of you cops out there in the nation, have them call in, because what happened is a lot of cops caught testicular cancer by putting that radar gun in their lap.
And just explain to me why they would be putting it in their lap. Was it to, they shot like a car with that was speeding, but they didn't want to pull that one over, and then they were just saving it for the car they wanted to pull over? Like, what was the point of that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the cop, you know?
Okay. Huh. I had not heard of that story.
But the thing about it is I've been stopped by a lot of cops, and over a 7 year period, I was stopped over 60 times by the cop.
Wow.
Stop number 25 was a state policeman there. I was driving my Porsche, and he comes up there and says, do you know what I'm stopping you for? I says, this is the 25th time I've been stopped in the past 2 years. And he says, what were you stopped the previous 24 times for? And I says, driving while sober. And he started cracking up. So I didn't get a ticket.
Yeah, if you can make the cop laugh, that's usually a good thing.
Okay, this is what you do with a drunk drive when you got a guy trying to pin you, a cop trying to pin you on a DUIL. He'll come up to the car, and the first thing they always say is, says, do you know what I stopped you for? And I go, yes, sir. You stopped me because you think I'm a drunk driver. May I have a preliminary breathalyzer, please? And those guys freak out because you take the control away from them. And then the state cops will let you blow that breathalyzer. And I look at them, and I says, if I blow three zeros, you're not messing with me the rest of the night, are you? He goes, no, sir. Says, you're making my job easier.
I wouldn't do that because I've gotten arrested.
Throw you on the hood of the car and start.
I think this is terrible advice.
Stupid stuff with you.
I wouldn't ask a cop if I can blow in the breathalyzer because I got arrested for blowing three zeros. They said, well, we can smell alcohol on you, so obviously you're not, like, blowing it all the way. We're going to have to take you to the station so you can blow into the bigger breathalyzer thing that sits on the counter.
Yeah, I also tend to disagree here with the law dog claiming that saying a line like that is going to somehow take the control away from the police. I mean, it might catch them by surprise, but it's certainly not going to take away their control, and asking to offering to be more obedient than the average person, I don't think is the way to.
Oh, no, I hold them in contempt. I give them some crap. You know, I says, you either get me for drunk driving or you let me go. And most of them, they'll back off. But that was like,
do you have video of you doing this? Do you have any video of you doing this?
Oh, no, I don't have.
Okay,
well
then it's just big talk.
Doing that, no.
Yeah, you can't really prove it. Then.
I haven't drove a car in 4 years.
I see. Well, they had video 4 years ago.
I think it's just a really bad idea to advise anyone to talk to the cops. You should tell them, I don't answer questions. They'll say, you know why I pulled you over? I don't answer questions.
That is, again, we're not lawyers. That's not legal advice, but that is what I would do if I were in that situation. Thank you, Law Dog, for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That, I think, you know, having actually seen video of at least one guy doing the whole I don't answer questions line, that has to be some of the most effective ways of dealing with the police that I've ever seen, because he talked about throwing them off their game, but what he was talking about was trying to be obedient and doing something they wouldn't expect. In the case of when you say I don't answer questions, it throws them off their game because they're used to having their questions answered. And so a lot of times they'll just push harder to try to get another question answered. They'll ask you a different question. And if you are, you know, if you fall for it, then you'll answer it. But if you are of a singular mindset of just, if you're going to say anything, because you're not obligated to talk to them at all, although there was this bizarre Supreme Court decision that said you have to, like, you have to verbally express your desire to use your Fifth Amendment right, which is really weird. So I think that you probably are, in my, you know, experience, better off saying something so they know that you heard them. That way they can't claim, well, you know, oh, he wasn't
crazy.
Responding.
He's, yeah.
Yeah, right. So
seemed on drugs and couldn't understand.
Right. So if you just simply say, I don't answer questions, they know that you heard them, and they don't quite know what to do with someone like that.
Oh, my God. Chris got... Not Chris. A cop, Chris from the show, Chris.
Okay. Our Friday night co-host.
He got such a funny response from a cop. He wasn't pulled over. He was going through the security at the federal courthouse in Concord during Ian's trial. He said, a cop asked him the question, like, do you have anything in this bag or something? And he said, I don't talk to liars and thieves. And the cop said, you just did.
Yeah, like he got him or something.
And then he probably was like, dang it. You know, because he called himself a liar and thief by saying that.
He sure did.
And Chris was just like, is that a admission?
Admission.
It's awesome.
What did the cop say to that?
I don't know.
Just sheepishly continue doing his job.
Probably just, they always act like they're the ones that are funny and cool. It's probably just smiling like, you know, not letting him know that he got him.
I wish I could remember the name of the guy. There's a, I think it's like Kenny somebody. Anyway, on YouTube. And he is known for doing the whole I don't answer questions thing. And he's got plenty of video of him doing it. And the cops just cannot. It's like it just freezes them up. They don't know how to handle somebody who isn't doing the normal thing. The typical response from somebody when they're dealing with a cop is to speak back. Because it's like you're talking to another person, and the police try to be, you know, try to act human in these circumstances.
Just so they can get you.
Yeah, just so they can get you for something. They, oh, yeah, where are you coming from? Oh, yeah, where are you going to tonight? Oh, what'd you do while you were there? You know, just asking you questions as though they're your buddy or something like that. And they're not your buddy. They're there to, you know, put handcuffs on you and throw you into a prison cell. So if you want to avoid that, the best thing to do is to not give them evidence to use against you. And if all you say is, I don't answer questions, and then they ask you another question, and you say, I don't answer questions, at some point, they're going to just say, all right, give me your ID, and then they'll go back to their car, and they'll run your ID and, you know, see if they have any warrants in the system that they can get you for that, and then they'll bring it back and either write you a ticket or not, and then they'll probably let you go. But, you know, it's up to you. Your mileage may vary. And if you do get pulled over, don't do what Law Dog did and don't get video of the situation. You should get video of it as well. That way you have it on the record in case they get crazy, in case they start trying to search your car without your permission, without any probable cause. Because depending on the, you know, how rogue that cop happens to be, how crazy or psychopathic they
are. How small of a town you're in, because that's why I got arrested for blowing 3 zeros. It's like they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, you never know what, you know, lunatic you're going to be dealing with. So better to have some evidence of that situation than not. So, Bonnie, you had a story here that's kind of related to the drag thing. Not quite. We're talking about, in this case, maybe some less fabulous cross-dressing. Somebody who is at a school, they're a teacher or something at a government school.
In Concord, New Hampshire.
Oh, it is Concord. Okay. And this person is wearing allegedly women's clothing to school, and somebody's upset about it.
Yes, this is from the Boston Globe, but I'm looking at it on archive.is because they had a
paywall
apparently. Mm-hmm. It says, a battle over freedom of expression at a Concord, New Hampshire elementary school. Offended by the girly clothes worn by the male art teacher at his daughter's school, one parent has taken aim at the teacher, the school, and the district. And a group of local liberty minded freedom fighters is helping him do it, which sucks. It sucks when people use the word liberty in their causes, and then they do things like this. It makes actual liberty-loving freedom fighters look bad. An art teacher at the Krista McAuliffe School was placed on leave recently after a parent complained that the male teacher was wearing women's clothing. Now hundreds of other parents have come together in support of the teacher, who identifies as LGBTQ, and are calling on the school district to do the same. The school board on Friday confirmed that the art teacher, Silas Allard, 24, was placed on leave after a parent, Michael Guelgamo.
Did you say this was a elementary school?
Yep.
Okay.
was placed on leave after a parent, Michael Guelgamo, complained about the feminine clothing he sometimes saw Allard wearing when parents picked their children up from school. Guelgamo, a member of We the People in H, told The Globe he has taken issue with Allard's clothing choices since September or October. He said he believes Allard was trying to provoke him in early February by staring at him and crossing his arms.
Okay.
Quote, my concern is that he's engaging in gender confusion and gender dysphoria.
And you did show me off the air some of the pictures of this guy, and it looks like, at least at school, now they apparently found some photos of him off of school property.
At graduation, wearing a graduation cap and gown, and like sitting on top of the bull, which must have been the
mascot,
school mascot or something. Like, that's not the same as him being at the elementary school.
Yeah, I just remember seeing something picture where, like, he was in a club or something.
The other picture was him dressed as, like, a fairy, and it looked like he was in a backyard. He might have even been, like, a backyard wedding.
Yeah. I mean, look, he can dress however he wants.
Outside of school.
And inside of school, what it looked like he was wearing was, like, women's professional clothing. That's kind of what I saw.
And not tight-fitting. I'm looking at it right here. It's, like, loose
professional
pants.
Clothing. Yeah.
Socks. And kind of like those, like, Japanese-style sandals that are like a thicker, maybe wooden bottom, and like a flowy shirt.
By no means is this man wearing drag or coming to school wearing a thong or something like that, right? He's dressed as a businesswoman would dress in, you know, any office situation, basically. And this guy acting like this is some sort of issue worth making a big stink over, I just don't understand it.
Says, We the People NH's founder, Therese Grinnell, a registered nurse and activist.
Oh, we know Therese.
Right.
Hold the thought on that here. Let's continue with the calls. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, it's Tom.
Tom, where are you calling from tonight?
Texas.
What's on your mind, Tom?
Well, there's this question of pragmatism when it comes to liberty fighters, libertarianism, anarchism, and all that. I just want to pose a question. I've posed to my friends, and I get a lot of pushback on it because it's kind of the argument is like it's a false dichotomy, but I don't think it is because we have examples. I'll just put it this way. Would you rather be in the high rise or on the train in the context of, let's say, Nazi Germany or Russia, circa 1930s?
What's the high rise? You mean like hanging out with the elites?
Yeah. Yeah. So are you willing to compromise? The question is, are you willing to compromise your principles for safety? And when it's easy to say when it's like a benign situation where, you know, we can be principled so long as it doesn't compromise our lifestyle or whatever.
What brought about this discussion? Really, I'm sorry.
I mean, current events, really, but actually history, really. It's a question of principles, I suppose. But
yeah, no, we've actually seen this recently with the Crypto 6 case, where former co-host Melanie Neighbors threw her principles down the well when she was threatened with a charge that never would have even held water if it was ever even brought against her. She was completely willing to throw people, not just me, under the bus and turn over as much evidence as she could to the feds, sadly. And so it just goes to show that principles are just talk until somebody actually has to put them into play. And then you really get to find out, you know, you separate the wheat from the chaff.
And what I know is I don't want somebody to be on the radio talking about me in a year saying, like, yeah, Barney was allowed to talk, but ultimately she's a coward and she'll work with the police if you barely scare her. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ethos.
Yeah, and I try to see both sides of the issue here. It's a very difficult question. I think it's very well. I think if have you guys followed Michael Malice and his latest book, The White Pill?
No, I have Michael Malice blocked on Twitter.
I don't know what his book is about, but I've read one of his books and I really enjoyed it. I think he's a great writer.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic. I agree with him like 98% of the time, but basically, he's talking about the horrors in Russia in the USSR, really. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book on North Korea.
Yeah, that's the one I read. And, what was it? Written by, not really written by Kim Jong-il.
Our Dear Reader.
Dear Reader, yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And so I think it's a very difficult question to answer without like a specific situation, but I think it's an important one. And I think I can't remember the interview, but I think it was on Tim Pool actually that Michael Ballas he pushed back on Tim Pool because Tim Pool is very principled in the free speech thing and various things. Tim Pool can be very animated about his opinion. But I think it was something to do with maybe it was January 6th or something. I can't really remember. But Michael Miles is like, you don't know their situation, and I think that that's an important.
Okay, so, well, this is why I have Michael Malice blocked on Twitter. Ian was accused, not even formally accused. His house was raided in 2016 for something the government said, oh, we believe that your IP address might have visited a child porn website. And Michael Malice left LRN.fm for that.
No, that wasn't Michael Malice.
Wait, who's it? Who is it?
That was Scott Horton.
Oh, that's the one I have blocked on Twitter. Disregard.
Okay.
I mixed them up.
They are both from Austin, Texas.
They're both friends with Tom Woods. I thought they were the same person.
Yeah.
I mean, I mixed them up.
Yeah, it was sad.
That's okay. But I want to pose the question in an argumentum ad absurdum sort of way to kind of push the principle of the question, where we draw the line of pragmatism and principles. And with my view on anarchism and my professional career, I've had to separate the two. And so, like, I have an understanding of what's true, and then I have an understanding of how I can best succeed in the world, if you want to put it that way.
I think that anytime you sacrifice your own principles to live in the world, you're basically not living in unity consciousness in your own mind. You're betraying yourself and...
You're not being true to yourself.
You're not being
true
to yourself, and I think it's not worth whatever worldly things you can live. There's a quote from, I wish I could remember who it is, but it says, like, most men will choose living a long life over living a noble life, which is funny because you can choose to live a noble life, but you have no choice over how long your life is going to be.
Mm, true.
Yeah. Well, I think my argument against that is that I think it's a privilege that we have to have that distinction. But when you're put in a situation where it is very literally, would you rather be on the train or in the penthouse? I think it's a different situation. We have a lot of buffer these days.
No, yeah, speak for yourself, dude. I mean, lots of people really had to answer that question recently.
Most people don't get the choice between the train and the penthouse. I mean, if you're going to be on the train, you are forced on that train, and you don't get an option to get off that train. So I don't know. It doesn't really seem like a choice people are presented with.
Here's a perfect example where people were given the choice was during COVID and the vaccines. Plenty of people betrayed themselves to get the vaccine because, it wasn't a real choice. I had to keep my job. My little brother was one of two people on his military base that stood up and said, I'm not taking the job. And, I mean, that took a lot of courage.
I stood up. I wrote a letter. I made my argumentation, and they accepted it. Although social reasons I won't divulge in my life, I compromised anyways. So I have kind of a hybrid situation with that, but I regret it. But really, it is. I do regret that. But I think it's a very difficult question to answer. And I guess I'm just bringing it up as a hypothetical and kind of a thought experiment.
Well, I understand that
some situations where it really could be dire. And it's not just yourself. I think what I was bringing up with Michael Malice is sometimes it's not just yourself. Sometimes you have to play around with the idea that you're sacrificing other people's lives for your principles. And when it comes down to that, like the examples in his book is, give us six people that you collaborated with, even though you're not a collaborator to subvert the state, they automatically claim that you're guilty, and you just have to give up people. Otherwise, they're going to...
Are you talking about theoretical?
Okay, yeah, but that's not giving up anything for your principles. If anything, if you work with them, you're just sacrificing your principles of, you know, not lying about people. It's like that lady that got arrested in El Salvador because they came to her and said, tell us about a gang member, you know. She didn't know a gang member, so she didn't tell anyone, and she wasn't going to lie about someone else she knew in real life, so they arrested her. If she would have done that, if she would have not gotten arrested, she would be sacrificing her principles doing that, so I just don't understand.
Sacrificing people who weren't gang members to these thugs. I mean, what is the example you're giving here, sir, of the six people situation?
Again, Mao's right about these were the tactics that are used in very totalitarian, tyrannical states like North Korea, China,
and El Salvador, as we discussed last night.
Right.
As long as your principles are never against or are never violent, as long as your principles are just non-violent, then your principles will never be the cause of someone dying. I'm not going to accept that. If somebody kills you or kills your children or kills your wife because of you not breaking to your principles, that's something that person did, not something you did. And you should never be responsible for somebody else killing someone or somebody else putting someone in jail. And I'm tired of this. Oh, well, they were just doing their job. Or, oh, well, they had to let the world just get deeper and deeper into slavery because, well, their kid might have died or something. Do you want your kid to live in slavery?
Or live at all, I think is the question. You want your kid to live at all.
Well, is living at all living if it's, you know, Nazi Germany took over the world?
In that situation, there is a question of survival. But I'll leave it at this. I think the question is...
I think only pussies want to survive bad enough to put their kids into Hitler's hands.
I think that's very... I really appreciate what you're saying, and I want to identify with it, but unless you put yourself in their shoes... In that situation, unless you've lived that...
Well, speak for yourself, because my house got raided by the FBI. I mean, like, I've literally been held at gunpoint. I could have just walked away and not have to live with this situation my whole life. I mean, the people like this are just, like, professionals who took the vaccine because they wanted to. Talking to me, saying I'm privileged. That kind of pisses me off.
Indeed. Thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate the discussion, and we'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, at freetalklive.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.